Hi, this is Pastor Greg. I want to thank you for tuning in to Chosen Generation Radio. When God called me to start this program 8 years ago, He led me to address three main topics while discussing current events through a biblical lens. I knew this was not supposed to be a preaching program, as there are a number of those on the radio. My calling was to address the LGBTQ agenda, Islam, and secular humanism. Just some non-controversial stuff. Secular humanism, which simply stated says man is the center and human reason has all the answers, and to leave God out of it. This indoctrination is really at the core of the shift in understanding America's founding, Constitution, and the Declaration of Independence. By removing God and biblical values, it's easy to see how gender dysphoria, unnatural sexual desires, and embracing a confused 7th century belief that rejects life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, namely Islam, a militant, geopolitical, totalitarian, and brutal regime, has taken root. I believe God has chosen this generation to ignite the passion to advance the radical message of the gospel and to once again establish America as the salt and light through which the message is advanced. Each segment applies that principle, no matter the topic. But how do we become this secular, democratic, non-theistic, top-down country run by a combination of demagoguery and elitism? I would suggest we examine our history. At America's founding, we had been oppressed by a tyrant king, claimed he actually spoke for God, and claimed a divine right monarchy. In order to set people free from these kind of despot leaders, one must reconnect the people with the one who grants all freedom. And so, preachers in the mid-1700s challenged the Christians in America to decide whom they should serve. Who was their king? Was it a man on a throne across the sea? Or was it the King of Kings, Jesus Christ? You cannot serve two masters. As the founders fermented in this, they began to see the need to create a new kind of country, a nation that valued life and recognized God as the author, who had been set free to liberty in Christ and to pursue abundant life. No, these weren't pieces on a board passed to one and not to another, as John Locke suggested, but rather they were a very part of who being American was, a concept only understood through biblical glasses as a blood-bought son of God and heir to the promise. So why are Christians so docile? You see, we live in a world filled with sin that has taken a stand to call God the enemy. We are children of God, heirs to the promise, yet we stand idly by as our brothers and sisters are slaughtered and our children's innocence is destroyed. Where's the anger and the rage at such atrocities? Jesus said it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea that he should offend one of these little ones. Jesus warned them not to cause harm or offense to the little ones, to the least of these. It would be better than a millstone were cast around his neck and he be drowned in the sea. That's not docile in the face of offense being done to children. This is Jesus speaking, the one that they say only speaks soft, lovely words. Or what about these verses? If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Wow. To the leaders of the church, he says, you are sons of the devil. You are deaf and unable to hear or understand the words of God because you do not know him. Yet day after day, Christians sit back silently while little boys are chemically castrated, while children's minds are violated in a comprehensive sex education curriculum, while they are taught that America equals Christianity equals all white people are bad and they should be ashamed. Let's be clear. If you believe in the truth of the Bible, then you believe that all are sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God. That God in his grace and mercy, while we were his enemies doing all forms of vile behavior, sent his son, his only begotten son, to die for our sins, to lay down his perfect and sinless life as a human being, having set aside his divine nature to become a man so he could take our place and overcome sin and death on the cross. Jesus the Christ shed his blood, died on the cross, rose the third day, set free the captives, presented himself to the disciples and to several thousand, and then ascended to heaven, at which point the Holy Spirit descended from heaven to lead us into all truth. Ultimately, then, we understand that sin is the issue and the nature of man. The key then is a confession of faith in God through Jesus Christ and asking for forgiveness of sin. I believe that we have been called, and it is the purpose of Chosen Generation Radio to raise up a generation to take back this nation, to reestablish a constitutional republic with Jesus Christ at its core, providing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all Americans, and once again advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. I've got a great program lined up for you today. Let's see. Bottom of hour number two, Rick Manning, my co-host, is with me. And we'll talk with him and Claire Lopez, our national security expert. We got a lot to cover with Rick and Claire. There's a lot going on. We're going to talk CCP. We're going to talk about Ukraine. We're going to talk about Russia, and we're also going to talk about the Texas jihadi. And Claire has done an incredible job in an article she wrote on Front Page Magazine. Did he act alone? Maybe not. Maybe this Texas jihadi is just the tip of the iceberg. We'll talk about that coming up. Hour number two, bottom of that hour. Top of that hour, David Shostokas is back with us, our constitutional attorney. We'll talk about SCOTUS's schizophrenic behavior. There is really something going on over there. I don't know if it's something in the water or what, but anyway, we'll find out a little bit more about that. And how do we stop lawlessness, and how is it like spilling over out of these radical lawless states, you know, places like Colorado, Washington, Oregon, where they're growing pot. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but those pot fields that they have created there for legal marijuana, I'm using quotation marks in my expression here, legal marijuana that they're growing there. But guess who's running those fields, folks? Yeah, the cartels, and they're shipping that stuff now around the world, and they've got a perfectly legal now protected way to harvest their dope right here in good old USA. That's crazy. That's lawlessness spilling over. We'll talk about it with David. And then bottom of this hour, Reverend Clenard Childress is with us. Insidious racist sellouts. We'll clue you in with Reverend Clenard Childress Jr. BlackGenocide.org is his organization. We'll have that coming up bottom of the hour. But joining me now, I know, right? We're just like, we are poking the bear today, folks. Welcoming to the program now is one of the leaders in poking the bear at Newsbusters and Free Speech America, Mr. Michael Morris. Michael, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it, Pastor Greg. Good morning to you as well.
You're welcome. You hesitated there. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if you're going to jump in the water or just kind of go, I don't want to pass this pool today and move on.
Let's jump in.
Okay, good deal. I wasn't sure you're going to say, no, he's doing it. It's not me. It's him. He's the one, the pastor. He's the one poking the bear. Anyway, no. So we got a big bear to poke right out of the gate. And that bear is Microsoft and Bill Gates. Talk to me about what you uncovered with regards to that. I got an email last night from my friends at Americans for Limited Government. By the way, if you're not signed up, you should be. And I actually clicked the send button and sent a letter signed by me to some of the leaders at Microsoft expressing my concerns. But talk to our audience about why they might want to be concerned.
Yeah, so look, like all the other big tech companies, Microsoft is woke, you know. And so they created a program back in 2020 that deals with their Word documents, right? So the new feature developed in 2020 actually will report or flag quote-unquote insensitive phrases. And this is according to Gizmodo and also reported by Daily Mail as well. Gizmodo said this about it. Quote, some examples include changing blacklist and whitelist to accepted or allowed. Or also swapping gender-specific postman to postal worker. You know, this runs along with all the other woke things that the left is doing. You know, you can't say things with regard to gender. You can't say things with regard to sexuality. There's even computer lingo like master and slave that developers use. You know, you can't use things like the master bedroom because again, that harkens back to slavery. And you know, even though it really doesn't have anything to do with slavery, the left loves to poke that, create division, and stir up the masses. It's truly ridiculous, this woke ideology that the left is pushing.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, it directly, you want to talk about something that is addressing free speech. I mean, here you are sitting at your desk at home, working on, you know, writing a paper, writing whatever, your thoughts down, you know, might even be just a letter to a family friend, expressing your concerns about a particular topic or a particular situation, but expressing your views on a Word document. And all of a sudden, you know, I mean, look, I think we're all annoyed, right? When we put in a word and you know, they do that predictive thing where they change the word and then you've got to go back and rewrite the word that you really wanted to write to begin with, or you hit send and then you notice that like three of the words that are in your sentence have changed because of their AI that's supposed to be intelligent but really is pretty stupid. But this is way beyond that, Michael. This is actually changing your thoughts and introducing their concept of the world into your document in the privacy of your own home.
Right. You're absolutely right. Look, it's, you know, this is in Word documents, but I guess the good news is Microsoft has said, at least to the Daily Mail, that this is an optional control that they're providing. Quote, Microsoft understands that not every editor's suggestion may be suitable for all users in all scenarios. That's why we let users gain control of their final output. Editor is a completely optional tool that users can turn on or off at any point. That's reportedly what Microsoft told the Daily Mail. You know, but I don't know. It may be optional right now, but will that always be the case? You know, history says probably not. You know, maybe optional now, but eventually it may become default. And, you know, that's certainly where the left wants to put things, where the right can't say what they want to say and can't go against the ingrained leftist narrative.
Well, and to that point, you know, I know that we talk a lot about the big tech companies, right? You know, the Twitters and the Facebooks and the YouTubes and even Google when it comes to, you know, what you're going to see when you do your searches. So it's really not that big of a stretch to imagine Microsoft doing two different things. Number one, limiting what it is that you can actually say on their documents. So, hey, somebody out there, and I don't know, there was that, the, you know, the open source one, you know what I'm talking about? The open source that was kind of an Office mimic, but it was open source. I can't remember the name of it right now. Maybe it was called Open Office.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Not particularly familiar with that one, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, there's one out there, and I used to use it, but I don't remember the name of it right now. But maybe OpenOffice. But the other piece to this is you've got to wonder how much data mining are they doing on what you're writing, and where's that list? Because that's something else too that we probably should talk about today is the fact that the Biden administration now at DOD is supposedly they're not supposedly, they are keeping a list of individuals that have government employees that ask for a religious exemption, and not for the purpose of giving them the exemption, but for the purpose of having them on some kind of a list that I guess is going to be what you're going to wear an armband now that says, I ask for a religious exemption from your injection mandates. This is, again, I mean, talk about stepping into a Marxist solution. We're headed that direction from what I can see, Michael.
Yeah, it's some scary stuff. You know, big tech is changing terms away from what ordinary Americans are wanting to write and inserting their own terms. Well, they're not the only ones. Government's doing that as well. Interesting piece over at CNSnews.com. Susan Jones wrote a piece actually last year asking, do COVID vaccines produce immunity as defined by the CDC? And she laid out the definitions and said the CDC website defines vaccination as the act of introducing a vaccine to the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. Well, she followed up with a report yesterday, and believe it or not, the CDC changed the definition of vaccine and vaccination between now and May 4th, 2021, when she first wrote that report. The definition has changed over time.
Wow.
So, you know, it used to say immunity. That was the key word. It now says protection.
Interesting. So the shot used to be about making you immune. Well, you know, here's something too that I had just read. Let me see, what was it? The FDA just changed. Mono. What is that one called? The
you know, monoclonal antibody.
Yes. Okay. So the FDA has now pulled monoclonal antibody treatments from the VA, or the VA has pulled them based on the FDA saying that they no longer have any impact on Omicron, so you can't get them anymore.
That's truly incredible. You know, and it goes back to definitions, terms, and being able to question the science and being able to talk, having free speech, you know, being able to talk to your doctor, get advice from him or her. You know, the CDC said this about the current protocols and the current shots that they're administering. They're urging Americans to get a COVID-19 booster to increase, quote unquote, protection from COVID-19. Again, kind of mimicking the language that they've changed in the definition section. You can actually see this on immunization, the basics on CDC's website. If you look right now, again, it currently says for vaccination, the act of introducing a vaccine to the body to produce protection from a specific disease. Mm. But if you use a thing called the Wayback Machine, that's an internet archive that actually kind of takes screenshots of the website at a particular time, and you go back to May 4th, you could read the same page. It says vaccination, the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce what? Immunity to a specific disease. You know, that's important because those are completely different terms. Protection is not the same thing as immunity.
And again, just to make sure so that folks understand, I apologize, it's not VA, it's the FDA. FDA halts use of Regeneron Eli Lilly COVID antibody drugs. The FDA says it has halted the use of COVID-19 antibody drugs made by Regeneron and Eli Lilly because they don't work against the Omicron variant. Well, gee, folks, I thought they also told us that the injection doesn't work against the Omicron either. And that's exactly what you're pointing out, Michael. Folks, look, at the end of the day, we're going to have to be taking responsibility for how we're doing and how we're feeling. And there are a number of doctors that are out there that have given very good advice on things that I personally am taking that are protecting me. And I hope you'll listen to those.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show. If you follow my program, you know I'm a miracle survivor of a catastrophic car accident where I saved my daughter's life, spent 6 weeks on life support, died 4 times, and broke bones in my head, neck, back, ribs, arms, pelvis, and both legs. That was in 2017.
In 2004, I was given 3 to 6 months to live as my pituitary gland and adrenal gland shut down. In both instances, God and his natural cures saved and preserved my life. Recently, I was introduced to a product that has taken my healing to a whole nother level. If you want to know more, go to cgrwellness.com and sign up for an account. It's free to sign up. That's cgrwellness.com and sign up for your free account. And when you get done, email me at pg@pastorgregyoung.com. That's pg@pastorgregyoung.com, and I'll tell you how to get well.
Are you getting up in the morning feeling like you and your bed had a bad night, still tired? Stop! It doesn't have to be that way. That's why Mike Lindell started MyPillow, and after his success helping people sleep better with the pillow, Mike decided to go all in. He found Giza cotton for the best sheets and created the ultimate mattress topper. And since stores won't carry his product, he's passing that savings on to you. Use the code Pastor Greg for incredible discounts and help feed starving children. Call today.
800-662-9236. 800-662-9236.
Nowhere else are you going to be able to sleep well and know that you have fed starving kids. Use the code Pastor Greg. Call MyPillow today.
800-662-9236. 800-662-9236.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being with us. I greatly appreciate you being here with me today. And we're talking about, you know, what's happening to our free speech. We're talking about the assaults on our free speech by the tech companies, by Microsoft Word, and then we're talking about also, we've talked about the changes, the FDA deciding that it is no longer safe for you to be using, or they'll no longer authorize the use of the antibody drugs. And here's what's crazy about that, Michael, is that there are so many people that I've talked with who, you know, came down with the COVID and went and got the antibodies and had immediate results as a result of taking the antibodies. So that was the treatment that was working, along with ivermectin and I can't say that word. And not because I don't want to, but because I'm having difficulty with it. Hydra what? Say it. Help me, Michael.
I think it was
hydrochloroquine.
The one you were talking about before. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, hydrochloroquine. Sorry, I apologize, folks. It got stuck in the channel and I couldn't get it out. But at any rate, yeah. All right. So you got a couple of other stories that you were focused in on. Let's see. We've got CNN. Okay. So the anti CRT laws making Virginia a Soviet style police state, according to our good old friend Acosta. There he is. He's finally gotten a headline again, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is just completely unhinged. You know, he was hosting CNN's Democracy in Peril, and he refers to Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, you know, the new governor here in Virginia, as he referred to the state as a Soviet-style police state, as you noted. He began his statement kind of wailing and about how Youngkin was asking neighbors to, quote-unquote, turn on their neighbors, about CRT in schools. And he turned to his favorite line and said that experts fear that this is a tip line that is weakening our democracy just as badly as the big lie. And of course, he always has to harken back to his favorite quote, the big lie, which, you know, really what the media does is lie all the time to favor the Democratic Party. And this is what the media does. They spin things. And they try to protect the left, and they attack the right. He had Atlantic writer Molly Jung Fast on, And she responded to his attack against the Virginia governor and said, you know, it's really weird. He was elected, you know. He wouldn't let Trump come and campaign with him. He sort of pretended to be this kind of non-Trumpy Trump. And then as soon as he gets in there, she says that he went full-on Ron DeSantis right away. So apparently, being like Republican governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, is horrible, and being like Trump is horrible, according to the Atlantic writer and, you know, of course, according to Jim Acosta of CNN.
Well, of course, Acosta, you know, I mean, let's not forget, this is the guy. Remember how he, you know, would consistently just attack and assault verbally. Well, verbally, he would attack the president. But in one occasion, remember, he actually smacked one of the aides in the press room. And you know, stop and think about that. You know, if somebody like Peter Ducey, right, over at Fox, laid hands on one of the members of the press, one of the press secretaries or assistant press secretaries of Joe Biden's administration, and kind of pawed at her or swatted her away or what have you, can you imagine the outcry that would exist as a result of that within the media? I mean, Ducey would probably never be able to go into a White House briefing again the rest of his entire career, and yet Acosta does that, and the media attacks the Trump administration.
Right, and what's amazing is, you know, I've heard from the left recently that CRT isn't actually being taught in school, and if that's the case, what are they worried about? Why is the media squirming now, telling us that this is a Soviet-style police state in Virginia because it's a Republican governor, Glenn Youngkin? You know, if it's not taught in schools, then they have nothing to worry about, right? I mean, isn't that what we're always told? If you have nothing to hide, if it doesn't exist, what are you worried for? Well, let's throw that back at the left. If CRT is truly not taught in schools, what are they worried about? Well, they're worried that CRT is actually taught in schools, and now it's going to be shown because Governor Glenn Youngkin is calling for parents to hold schools accountable. Wow. And there's certainly nothing wrong with parents doing that.
No. Well, unless you're living in the United States of America in 2022 and you happen to be a parent that's concerned about what's being taught to your children, and you show up at a school board meeting to voice those concerns, now you're going to be identified and probably put on a list by the Department of Justice as a domestic terrorist, because, you know, that's where we live today. Folks, this has been a horrific slide that we have been in, and that's why we're pointing these things out to you, so people's eyes will be open to see. And at the end of the day, the reality of this is that elections have consequences. You know, the left, that's one of the left's things, right? The left likes to say to us, the elections have consequences. Well, yes, they do have consequences. And the consequence is that right now, parents who get involved in their child's education are considered by those that are been elected as domestic terrorists. It needs to stop. And we need to elect different people. Back after this.
Now is a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. There's no better way to do so than by joining the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. AMAC is one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in America. Well over 2 million people have joined and now carry the AMAC membership card. AMAC was built by regular folks who feel the same way you do. You're not alone. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that made America so great. We're fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of federal government. We believe in the sanctity of our Constitution. So if you're 50 or over and hold to traditional American values, you no longer have to feel alone. Call the Association for Mature American Citizens, AMAC, and get great discounts and support your values. Call today, 855-696-7930, 855-696-7930. Use the code Pastor Greg, get your first year absolutely free. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy?
The prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on. There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S.-based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen.
It started with a conversation I had with a dear friend of mine. Her name is Erin, and she lost her husband and her daughter tragically to a shooting that happened in our community, and it was there was nationwide media buzz around it.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Becky Kapitsky.
The last year of their marriage, they didn't know it was going to be the last year of their marriage, but they had been very intentional about blessing one another, about finding ways to show love in action to each other. And in doing so, their relationship grew because they were thinking less of self and more of the other. And she used this term. She said it was like we couldn't wait to out-bless each other.
Yeah.
And that just struck me in my seat. I sat there. We were eating lunch, and I looked at her, and I said, out-bless. That is an amazing concept.
More from Becky at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Ann Graham Lotz with Daily Light for Daily Living. When you pray, God, be glorified in my life, do you truly mean it? Are you willing to lay everything on the line? Reputation, position, ministry, safety, success, time, treasure, your whole life, as you take a stand for your faith. In Daniel 6, Daniel took a stand for his faith and was cast into a den of lions. However, when King Darius ran to check on him the next morning, Daniel answered in verse 21, O king, my God sent his angel. He shut the mouths of the lions. And Darius issued a decree that everyone in his kingdom was to fear and reverence the God of Daniel. God was glorified. Listen to me. If you're not willing to take a stand for your faith, why are you surprised when it's too weak for anyone to notice? So stand up for Jesus. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
Now, back to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg.
Pastor Greg.
And don't forget, you can get more Chosen Generation at www.chosengenerationradio.com.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And it is my sincere pleasure to welcome to the program. He is the founder, and I have spoken about him over and over and over for years on the show, because the work that he has done to highlight what is happening in the black community relative to the issue of abortion is just so critically important. For years, when Elijah Cummings was alive and in office, I would call his office regularly because he regularly would say things that were just outrageous. He was one of those insidious racists, quite frankly, in my opinion. But at any rate, I would call his office calling him out for certain things. And then I would mention to his staff, have you ever read and looked at the website blackgenocide.org, to which 100% of the time they would tell me, no, I've never heard of that. And then I would say to them, you need to go and you need to read the site and you need to look at that. And then you need to ask your boss, why do you and the Black Congressional Caucus continue to fund an organization that is committing genocide against the black community? That doesn't make any sense to me. I want to welcome Reverend Clenard Childress Jr. Reverend, welcome. Good to have you.
Oh, great to be here as always, and thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you know what? You brought something up in our warm-up there that I was
I apologize, but I was a little blank on James Martin. Look, I'm looking this guy up right now. So,
yeah, so
he's wearing a collar. I see that. And he is what he's promoting, transgenderism in the Catholic Church. Is that what I'm to understand?
Yes, he wants the church to lighten its stance on the issue of transgenderism. And of course, basically from the position of that they were, that they're unchangeable, they're born that way, which, you know, no biological or scientific proof adheres to that position. But right now, presently, there are groups that they want to talk with, and they want to talk, and I think they're trying to make him the spokesperson. But the Pope just needs to be very clear on the issue, and I think that would nip much of this in the bud. But you know, when you're talking about trying to be more you know, communicable or expand the outreach, the church certainly welcomes everyone, but as my church did, but I had to repent from certain lifestyles that I had taken up. So we welcome you to come in, but we can't sanction the lifestyle. And I think James Martin is going to be attempting to do just that.
Well, and you know, I mean, on that topic, the issue that exists, number one, we don't decide. God is the one who decides. Now, I, you know, there are hermaphrodites that are born today, and I know my mom worked in the pediatric field, and we've had conversations about, you know, babies being born and there being some confusion as to whether or not they were a boy or they were a girl. The doctor made a decision. There were, but these are a minute number of individuals, number one, and number two, there is an actual, you know, biological. We're not talking about a sex change because somebody feels emotionally as though I'm no longer comfortable being whatever, and I want to try being something else. And there are, I think it's Heyer is Walt Heyer was someone who made that change. Have you heard his story?
No, I haven't. I haven't heard his story, but certainly, unquestionably, that the church, because of the lines not being clear and becoming very murky, is aiding and abetting an orientation that has been flawed. You don't give civil rights to sexual orientation,
right?
Because the orientation itself can be flawed, and the church is designed to help those in confusion.
Amen.
And certainly, it shouldn't be anything that the pulpit is sanctioning the confusion, and should take up the weapons of our warfare to help, as Scripture teaches us.
Well, and Walt Heyer's ministry, the website, one of his websites is called sexchangeregret.com, walthyer.com, Rethinking Transgenderism. He identified as a transgender woman for 8 years before the Lord, you know, did a healing work in his life. And he talks about it, and he's got these testimonies from kids that in their, you know, teenage years were encouraged to go ahead and change their sexual identity. And now in their 20s and late 20s and early 30s and what have you, they're saying, you know, this is, and they're trying, you know, they're trying to fix in what in some cases is almost irreparable, right? You know, and they're crying out. They're getting healing for themselves, but they're crying out, and saying, you know, just like Robert Oscar Lopez, who nobody wanted to hear, raised by two lesbian mothers, right? I mean, this guy has an incredible testimony. He's married. He's got kids. He's, you know, godly man. Couldn't even get, I mean, the Southern Baptist Convention, and we see where they've gone in their last gathering that they had year before last. They basically have now said that pastors can make their own decisions as it relates to these kinds of sexual orientations and how they're going to deal with them and whether they're going to accept them or not accept them. But, you know, we're just all going to get along. I mean, look, Jesus Christ came to set us free from the bondage of sin and death. That is not God standing up there with a hammer and a thunderbolt trying to figure out, you know, who am I going to hit next? Who am I going to be mean to next? Who am I going to beat up next? It's a loving Father with his arms open, having sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to say, I love you. If you haven't figured that out, I love you. In spite of the fact that you curse me, in spite of the fact that you destroy your own world, and which is, by the way, my world that I'm letting you live in, and then get mad at me when you've screwed things up, I still love you. You are all the prodigal sons, and I'm going to throw a party when you come back. But the way back is through Jesus Christ, my son.
No question. We all are born in sin, flawed. And certainly Christ came to be able to deal with our flaws, our confusions. And this is also an attack on God in Genesis. And we have to recognize that the order of God is the order, the universal order, that society is far more blessed, far more functional, far more receptive to living when we follow his plan of one man, one woman. And certainly the differences between the two genders, you know, my hands will always be bigger, my bone structure and everything about me will be physically more greater than a woman. I don't want to say superior in these days, but it's going to certainly, and we see this in sports, the absurdity that is quite clear that there's differences when you have young men who are claiming to be women, and then a community that permits them to compete against young ladies. It has certainly been proven to be quite clear, the clear advantage that he has as a man, more or less now participating in women's sports. Physiologically, he is superior. So now, records are being broken. You're talking about the end of women's sports. I mean, if indeed there is persons that are transgendered and want to compete, men to compete with women, you should have your own arena, and basically you can compete against other men that have the same issue. That's the only way that is going to ever be just and rectifiable. So we as the church, we have to be clear on this. And the love, Jesus said, love your enemy. So the love factor has to always be there. But we also have to understand that the order, you know, God so loved his cosmos, his order. And he came to bring order not only back to the earth, but order back into really our lives primarily. Yeah. And he'll straighten out the rest later on.
Well, you know, one example of that was Laurel Hubbard winning a gold medal in 2020 in Tokyo in weightlifting. And you know, it's quite obvious that Laurel Hubbard, who was a man and transitioned, double the age of all the other women that were competing, and yet won the heavyweight weightlifting gold medal because as a male, he had strength that the women didn't have. Back after this.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air, and we are sponsors of Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Sponsoring this program has been a real blessing to our business, and I want to encourage you to join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. Once again, that's 830-446-3624. I know your business will be blessed as ours is, and I challenge you to this blessing. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, reminding you that we have a two-hour program Monday through Friday with great interviews on topics that impact you. Our goal is to return our country to a biblically based constitutional republic as envisioned by our founding fathers and what made our nation the greatest in the world for over 150 years. You are a part of that vision, so please join us at ChosenGenerationRadio.com, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, and sign up for our emails today.
Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on? There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S.-based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen.
Are you getting up in the morning feeling like you and your bed had a bad night, still tired? Stop! It doesn't have to be that way. That's why Mike Lindell started MyPillow, and after his success helping people sleep better with the pillow, Mike decided to go all in. He found Giza cotton for the best sheets and created the ultimate mattress topper. And since stores won't carry his product, he's passing that savings on to you. Use the code Pastor Greg for incredible discounts and help feed starving children. Call today. 800-662-9236. 800-662-9236. Nowhere else are you going to be able to sleep well and know that you have fed starving kids. Use the code Pastor Greg. Call MyPillow today.
800-662-9236. 800-662-9236.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Here's a Renewing Your Mind Minute with Dr. R.C. Sproul.
How were the people in the Old Testament saved? Did Abraham go to heaven? Was Abraham a believer? Yes, of course he was. The New Testament labors that point. Well, how could the people in the Old Testament be redeemed when Christ hadn't come yet? Well, Abraham was justified by faith. How could he be justified by faith when he hadn't even heard about Jesus? Well, Abraham was saved exactly the same way you are saved, with one significant difference. The Old Testament saints looked ahead for their awaited Redeemer. We look backwards to the past, to the one who has come.
For today's special offer, visit renewingyourmind.org.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till he comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned, because their life matters, even if it means in that moment they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you're my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
You know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. There we go. And welcome back to Chosen Generation. I'll say that again just to get it in there, because I muted my microphone. I don't know what I was thinking. Anyway, welcome back. Thanks for being here. My guest is Reverend Clenard Childress Jr., blackgenocide.org. And I want to make real certain that we, you know, that we talk about, because one of the things that is part of, I think, what we're facing, or the challenge that we're facing, for example, with the LGBTQ, the transgender now, the move from that, so we've seen churches that have embraced completely the sodomite relationships. Now they're moving to the transgender. The transgender is the stair step to get to the embrace of pedophilia. And of course, if you are watching us on TECNTV.com, you have been seeing us putting out the trailer for The Mind Polluters. And that film, and we've had several of their guests, but Reverend, that film talks about the pornographic materials that are being pushed into our public school system through comprehensive sex education. And they're now doing that all the way down. As a matter of fact, there's testimony from one of the individuals in the film who is an educator, who was told that she was to create curriculum to teach homosexuality and the sexual acts associated with it to 4- and 5-year-olds.
Absolutely, you're absolutely correct. And what you have surmised already, that this was heading to pedophilia, unfortunately, is true. It is on the agenda. They want to normalize it here. And certainly, I believe the church is still here, and the Holy Spirit is still here. We will be able to thwart those purposes, but we should not certainly be naive to the agenda. And this is what I was referring to earlier. It has wakened parents up, and it was parents that elected George Youngkin and Winsome Sears of Virginia. It's parents that turned back a lot of this legislation that is attempting to be passed, and to normalize what the Bible calls perversion. And if the parents don't stand up and the pastors behind the pulpits do not point this out, I mean specifically talk about being careful what's going into your neighborhood libraries where your children may frequent, and certainly the curriculum that's being introduced, often authored by Planned Parenthood. So we have a work cut out for us, but I think something has happened where the light is being shown, which is our job as the church to expose the works of darkness. And we have to certainly recognize, and all that you have discussed and all that we have discussed today, children suffer the most, whether it be LGBT relationships, whether it be transgenderism.
Right.
It's children. And it's up to the church to stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves, all the way down to them that are in the womb wanting access to the American dream.
Well, and it's the confusion that it creates, Reverend. I think that's the really significant issue. One of the things as ministers of the gospel, one of the things that you're working with is helping people to figure out who they are, why they're here, what's the purpose of life, if you will. If you start out by creating confusion for a child with the things they actually can physically see, even about themselves, yeah. Right? You know, you've got a little boy. He knows he's a little boy, okay? He knows his body. He knows what's connected to him. And you start telling him that what he has, what his physical form that he can see has nothing to do with defining even his sexuality. The confusion that creates is just massive.
And your listeners need to know God is not the author of confusion.
No.
So when any type of curriculum or any type of narratives that are being presented to the society that's creating confusion, we should know where that's coming from, and we should be willing to stand up for the Judeo-Christian ethic, certainly far more needed now than ever before since the conception of the country. And it's a time right now, if you can't do it for yourselves, do it for the generation that's coming up behind you who need leadership. He says, I call the old because they know the way. Right?
Or they're supposed
to. Because they're strong.
Yeah.
Right.
The old are supposed to know the way. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm going to suggest, if someone really at this point, if you're 55 or younger, the chances are that unless you have taken the time to really do some scratching and some digging and some almost reprogramming to a degree, you're going to be, some of this is not going to connect. 50 and under, it gets even more dramatic. 45 and 40 and under, understand. Go ahead.
Well, it's much like the pastor you described earlier. They know, but they choose the least path of resistance. I'm from, I was raised by the greatest generation ever, they say, but and those values were basically put in us, and we know conscience wise what is right and wrong. One of the greatest blessings God has given us is one to have a part of him in every one of us and to have conscience. We know, but your conscience can become seared, and what happens is when you don't speak up for truth, each day you do, each day you comply, you become weaker. And each day you do not stand up for your own conscience sake,
right.
It becomes more seared. So that's what has happened. We become extremely complacent and therefore insensitive. And but that's what an awakening, revival programs like this, discussions like this, and people begin to say, something, I have to become engaged. I have to play my role in society to heal society because I'm salt and I'm light. This is what I've been redeemed to
for.
Do. Let
exactly.
The redeemed of the Lord say so.
So. Amen. Amen. Well, and folks, our words, are to encourage as well. You know, yeah. When we find someone that is lost, that is in, that place of confusion, my heart breaks. I know, Reverend, your heart breaks, because we know what the end of that is. And man, we don't want that for anyone. All right, I'll be back. Hour number two coming up. Thanks so much. BlackGenocide.org. Be sure and check it.
Spiritual warfare is real, and it's dangerous. But this week on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie reacquaints us with the protective armor the Lord has given us to fight victoriously. Tune in for the finale of our most requested messages of the year, Insight on Spiritual Warfare and a Study of Noah, this week on A New Beginning.